Robert W. Kirk, 7939 South Justine Street, Chicago 20, Illinois, took the picture at the Wright near Chicago. It appeared low in the sky, and seemed transparent, like glass, but showed up dark on the film. The object seemed to be approximately 20 feet in diameter and was moving slowly. However, its distance could be not determined and therefore its apparent size is meaningless. Its oval shape is readily apparent, though. 3.jpg. In this Acme photo, taken July 7, 1947 by Albert Weaver, Pontiac, Michigan, at sundown, the discs were traveling about 100 miles per hour and were about 150 feet off the ground. They appeared to be about 2 feet in diameter and from 2 to 6 inches thick from edge to edge. The picture above, reproduced from the Nicholas County Star, Carlisle, Key, because the films were picked up by the War Department and never returned, was taken by Mrs. Paul Brannan of Paris, Key, on January 16, 1949. Not visible in the photo is the small, black walnut-shaped object which made the trail. Shown here is a huge disc-shaped object trailing a definite vapor trail as photographed by Rand Herman on March 12, 1950, at Pacific City, or Mr. Herman photographed the disc over the ocean, in the late afternoon, and no in good focus. Waves and shoreline are visible in the foreground. This picture, first foreign flying saucer picture, was taken by newsreel cameraman Enrique Horsman Muller, in Spain, April 24, 1950. The object was described as being very luminous of a very huge size, and spun across the heavens with a rotating motion, giving off streamers or rays of flame like a fireworks pinwheel. Yet it seemed to be intelligently guided, and did not appear to be indefinite in shape. It showed the distinct oval of a disc shape and seemed thicker in the center than the edges. The color was a weird greenish-orange, rather more green than orange, and there was absolutely no sound following its passage across the skies. Its speed was estimated to be in the neighborhood of 400 miles per hour, and was in sight long enough for Muller to focus this camera and get it squarely in his range finder. This picture is reproduced by courtesy of United Press News Pictures, Chicago, IL, efforts to obtain another foreign photo, that taken by Chilean officers at the South Pole base of the Chilean government, have proven fruitless. This photograph was taken by Dwayne Way, who lives 9 miles north of Norton, Kansas, at 5:05 p.m. CST February 18, 1948. It has been claimed to be a meteor. Yet the so-called meteor was reported over El Reno, Oklahoma, at 5:05 p.m. and over Stillwater, Oklahoma, at 5:12 p.m. Reports also came from Garden City, Dodge City, Antony, Hutchinson and Dasaday 3, all in Kansas, Sydney, Nebraska, Buffalo, Oklahoma, Higgins, Texas, anywhere between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. An army pilot reported the object seemed to come down from the ground and go up. Apparently it exploded many times. 3. Dasaday is more likely Cassaday, Butler County, Kansas. Guy B. Marquand Jr. photographed this object near Riverside, California. The distance was 4 or 5 city blocks and the thing flew by once at a very high rate of speed and then came back. He had his camera ready. Acme Photo 4. 4 undated on original image description but was taken November 23, 1951. In the photo reproduced above, taken by Eugene Hayward in Alaska, the two white images appeared on a color photo, and were white in that photo against blue sky. This is the first of the pictures taken of the flying discs. It was taken on July 4, 1947 at Seattle, Washington. The disc is the white dot, the dark spot is a negative defect. The attached narrative on the image read, 5E8675 Seattle, last picture of flying discs seen over the Pacific Northwest recently taken by Yeoman Frank Ryman, USCG, July 4. 5:45 p.m. A white object near center of picture above and to right of it is black defect in negative. Members of the Walter Mueller family, of Phyla, Idaho, were taking pictures on May 1, 1950 on their farm 2 miles northeast of Filer when they apparently picked up, all unknown to them, the image of a flying saucer and the shockwave preceding it. The strange object appeared on a photo of Mervyn Mueller and his bicycle. No attention was paid to the strange object until June 25, when it was noted that a picture published in the Times News of the small daughter of Mrs. Robert Peterson, Hill City, showed a similar image. Later True magazine said the images on these photos were due to bending of the negative, the crease causing the peculiar image during development. See page 175. Miss Beth Malz of Los Angeles snapped this peculiar object over Hawthorne, California on March 11, 1950. She was about to take a picture of a small plane, right center, when she saw something shining closer by and to her left. She snapped the shutter on her miniature camera with the result shown on this page. Shown here and on opposite page, are the mysterious radar angels which have mystified radarmen. These are official photographs, time exposure, of the radar screen at the Landing AIDS Experiment Station at Arcata, California. This project is sponsored by the Army, Navy and the Civil Aeronautics Administration and operating by Transocean Airlines. It has since been closed. These photographs were taken under the direction of Kenny Fellers, head of the Electronics and Radar Department. The radar antennae scan everything above sea level within the immediate vicinity of this radar station. The large white splotch areas indicate mountains and land barriers. Small white target returns indicated by arrows are what have been designated radar angels. They are invisible to human eyesight, but return indications on the radar screen of objects of density and substance as bright as certain types of standard aircraft. They move with an intelligent purpose and almost constant course across this area of approximately 180 degrees. Their altitude ranges in the vicinity of 3,000 feet above sea level. For more than 4 years, these unidentified radar returns have been studied by scientists at this project as well as many other projects. Every possible and plausible explanation has been thoroughly investigated in an attempt to determine what these angels can be. Circle object, page 185, indicates a large passenger aircraft, identified and observed from the ground. When the planes are sent aloft and guided into the exact spot where the radar blips indicating the mystery objects are noted on the radar screen, the pilot of the plane invariably reports nothing visible to the eye, nor any indications on his instruments of the presence of any object that is capable of influencing them. It would seem that they are not electromagnetic in nature, even though radar indicates substance. Captain Jack Adams, flying his Chicago and Southern Airlines plane over Stuttgart, Arkansas, saw a flying disc cross the sky at about 500 miles per hour. It seems to have windows extended around the outer rim, and to have a blue light atop it which blinked rapidly, as in drawing. 5. Incident occurred March 20, 1950. Although this is an imaginary concept of a flying saucer, drawn by Alex Tremulis of Chicago, and distributed by Acme Photo, it is a startlingly accurate concept as revealed by later sightings. Mr. Tremulis is a designer of autos, jet planes and guided missiles. He bases his conception of a flying disc on reports of hundreds who have seen the objects. In fancy, Tremulis gives his craft, which he envisions as coming from another planet, a speed of 25,000 miles an hour. As it has developed, his imaginary speed is quite accurate when compared with actual speeds as tracked by scientists at the White Sands Proving Ground. At such a speed, the ship designed by Mr. Tremulis could escape the Earth's gravitational field. Says he, "I could build a scale model of this thing that would fly." An interesting comparison can be drawn with the illustration on the opposite page. Summer, 1947, was a time of many forest fires started by meteors. On July 24, the bridge across the Salmon River in Oregon, on the highway between Warm Springs, Idaho and Riggins, burned out. It was first reported by Dewey Bowman, his wife, his niece Mrs. William Borman and Mrs. Isabel Swope, while driving to Riggins. As they approached the 400-feet-long span over a 90-feet gorge, they saw a huge column of smoke, arrived to find the bridge enveloped in flames from one end to the other. How could this bridge have burst into flame along its entire length at the same instant? The bridge itself was built of wood, but suspended on steel cables. It had three trestles, two high trestles at each end and a lower one in the middle. Bowman took pictures of the flaming bridge. Upon later investigation by the FBI, the steel cables of the bridge were found to be melted in several places. Ordinarily, steel melts at 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit, and according to opinions, an ordinary wood fire in the open air could not generate enough heat to melt such cables. What set the bridge afire? It was a fire uniformly over its whole length. In this photo, which is taken from a full color Kodachrome, the tiny flames which attacked all portions of the bridge are not well reproduced, although many of them can be seen, in white, on the floor of the bridge, even on the metal cables, and on the wooden trestle. Forest rangers in Oregon, during this period, reported seeing brilliant glowing objects land in the forest and start numerous fires. Early in 1952, small flying discs were observed to dark from the Snake River Canyon, follow a B-29 for several minutes, then dart back again. Did they burn this bridge? This is another Kodachrome shot of the burning Salmon River Bridge, showing the approach to it and the large trestle, which can be seen to be entirely aflame, just as is the trestle on the opposite bank 400 feet away. A theory that it was struck by lightning was discounted by the fact that it was an entirely cloudless day. The FBI investigation was conducted exhaustively but without comment. This is a companion wooden bridge, further up the river. These two luminous discs, plainly showing vapor trails, were photographed by space. Distance and size cannot be estimated. Photograph was taken on May 27, 1950. Pictured here are several luminous objects which may be anywhere from 50,000 to 210,000 miles from the Earth, plainly visible against the dark of the Moon. These objects were photographed in space with the aid of a telescope on May 27, 1950. They are quite close to the Moon's surface, possibly within 100 miles. This chain of objects was observed between Earth and Moon at a distance of 10,000 to 35,000 miles, and during the time of telescopic observation, proceeded in a tightly maintained formation. Professor George Adamski was born in Poland in 1891. He owns two telescopes, 6 and 15 inch, at Mount Palomar where he pursues his hobby. The picture shown here was taken between 3:30 and 4 a.m. on May 6, 1950. It shows a strange object suddenly appearing over the face of the Moon. It was taken with a Hagee Dresden Graflex camera at a shuttle speed of 100 on Pancro Press type film. Professor Adamski scans the sky with his telescope, camera readied. Carl Hart, Jr. Lubbock, Texas, took these two photos of formations of flying saucers on August 30, 1951. Says the U.S. Air Force intelligence team, now admitted to be continuing its flying saucer investigations in earnest, these photos are legitimate. In one photo, a larger mothership can be seen off to one side, apparently controlling the mass flight. Acme photo. The whole world has heard about flying saucers. Do you really know how it started? Have you ever heard the very first radio broadcast, in 1947, only hours after it happened, with Kenneth Arnold telling of his incredible sighting of the flying saucers? This book, along with the amazing tape of this actual broadcast, tells the authentic story of the mysterious sky objects that have shaken the complacency of the world. The sound and excitement of Kenneth Arnold's voice will hold you spellbound as you hear him tell the story that was on every news broadcast, newswire, radio and in every newspaper in the country. You will want to know, as Ray Palmer, the two men who knew the most about them, is an amazing array of factual evidence and the initial results of an investigation that continues even to this day. This edition was created and published by Global Grey 2018.